Aren't you glad goodbye is not the end? Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor Earl, for filling in for me last week. I am so glad to be back in church, feeling so much better. And Brother Wes is gone today on vacation. Let's pray for he and his family. So glad he gets a break as well. And so I'm just thrilled to be here. I'm glad you're here on this Labor Day weekend. And that's our theme for today, if you haven't noticed, with tomorrow being Labor Day. I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Can you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:58? Our songs today, of course, have talked about our reliance upon Jesus as we live for Him every day. God's called each of us to minister to one another, reach the lost, disciple new believers. That's what a church is all about. Recently, I did speak about the importance of work, and I tell you, laboring for an earthly boss is good, okay? And many of you are going to get a break tomorrow. But laboring for our Savior is even greater. Let's look at the context of this passage. Let me give you the context. There was a false teaching at that time going around that taught there is no existence beyond death. In other words, you die, you go to the grave, that's it. Okay? Many believe that there is no resurrection from the dead or of the dead. Now, so Paul, in this chapter, is reassuring the believers at Corinth that just as Jesus resurrected from the dead, the bodies of believers who have died will also be resurrected when? At the rapture of the church. They're going to go first. Amen. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him to live forever with Jesus. There is no reason to fear death. Can you say that with me? There is no reason to fear death because there is life after death. Man, we have an eternal destiny with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So with that in mind, Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians 15:58, ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, with the confidence of the resurrection in mind, it should inspire us to service, to work, and to ministry. Why? Because we truly have something to live for. How many realize you got something to live for? He died for you. We need to live for Him. And we do that, and we read a scripture like this, that should inspire us. Hey, I want to serve Him. I want to work for Him. I want to do ministry. I want to do my part in reaching others with the gospel. All the effort, here's the good news, all the efforts, all the sacrifices made doing the Lord's work are very worthwhile. Because what we do right here on earth right now counts for eternity. When you serve, work, minister for Jesus, you're laying up treasures in heaven. Can we pray together? Lord, I pray that you get us all focused right now on the next few minutes. And Lord, with this theme in mind, it is a privilege to serve you. It's a privilege to love you with all of our hearts and to love one another and then try to reach people with the gospel. Lord, I pray that we would leave this place today being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, realizing that our labor is not in vain. Teach us this morning, Lord. Help us to apply it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's break this verse apart. Number one, be steadfast in service. Steadfast gives the idea of being settled in, firmly situated, standing firm. Now, I can give you a few illustrations. How about a tree that's standing firm against a strong wind? How many got strong winds yesterday? And your trees were a-blowing. And they stood firm. They lasted through the storm. How about a soldier or soldiers defending a fortress? trying to protect. They're standing firm. How about a spouse that is supporting an ailing partner? Well, I tell you, if you've got a sick loved one, it's just as hard on the ones taking care of them as it is the sick one. We need God's strength. You need to stand firm. That's a difficult situation. So to be steadfast is to be loyal, faithful, strongly devoted to something. Now, how does a Christian stand firm? Well, it begins with a strong trust in Jesus. He is the key. He is the foundation. And we are to be strong in the Lord, not in our own power, but in the power of His might. So it takes us being dedicated to Him, laboring under His direction, laboring by His influence, because without Him we can do nothing. Hey, we've got to depend on Him, and we've got to depend on the Holy Spirit for strength. Remember, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's there at our disposal if we'll just yield to His power. Then we got to maintain fellowship with Jesus every day through prayer, Bible study. Man, you got to regularly feed on God's Word, because there is false teaching all around us. How many can relate to that? You better be careful who you're listening to, because there's so much false going around. We are to be spiritually grounded, standing firm on the Holy Scripture, knowing what we believe, not being tossed back and forth and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. Got to be so careful. A steadfast person, you know what? They're able to hear false teaching. A red flag goes up. They're able to engage doubters that doubt God's word or doubt Jesus. They're able to defend truth without it shaking their own faith. We must allow the word of God to become part of us. We must allow the truth of God's word to so penetrate our minds and our hearts that it's affecting our thinking, that it's affecting the way we live. The Holy Word of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us and teaches us. That makes all the difference in the world. Because not only is our thinking got to be right, our actions have to be right. Do you know Satan uses scriptures for his own purposes? Satan will twist it to make it sound as though it's something, but it really doesn't say that. That's what he did with Eve in the garden, and he deceived her. And if we have not been diligent in our study, we're going to be vulnerable to error. You know, even believers who had been personally taught by the Apostle Paul, the church of Corinth, they were victims of deception. So how much more vulnerable are we? And so we need to be so careful. The false religions of the world can be very persuasive. So we got to be able to recognize error when we hear it. Now, I got good news for you. Ready? Wake up. God has put you in a Bible-believing, sin-hating, people-loving church that's going to help you recognize truth from error. We're going to be able to stand firm and lock arms together and be steadfast in service because we're part of His church. Are you firmly situated in the church that God has called you to? All right, number two. Be unmovable in suffering. This gives the same concept as steadfastness, but it's even with greater intensity. Motionless while standing firm. How many used to love to play freeze tag? And when they'd say freeze, what would you do? Boy, you would remain motionless while standing firm. You know, some are so easily moved when they're confronted with temptations or trials. Now, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through a mess right now. But I tell you, God knows exactly what you're going through. And we cannot allow discouragement, disappointment, dissatisfaction move us from the place of God's blessings. Got to be so careful of that. His grace is abundant. It's available. And when we're going through those rough times, He's allowing it in our lives for a purpose. So we just got to lean on Him. You know, Paul had a God-sized assignment. Man, he was writing letters to these churches. He would go on those missionary journeys. He had such a God-sized task to preach the gospel. And boy, he did it with all-out fervor, and he's encouraging us in this scripture to do the very same. You ought to be excited about coming to church every time the doors are open. You ought to be excited about finding a ministry, serving the Lord, and just stand firm. You know, we got to be unmovable in the face of trials, temptations, persecutions. How many believe opposition and suffering is going to come? If it hadn't already, it's going to come. And we don't need to waver. We don't need to change direction. We don't need to drift away. We don't need to quit. We got to stand firm. The Christian journey is not an easy one. Can I get a witness? Woo! Especially with the increasing animosity that people have toward us as Christians. It's going to get tougher. And the church is going to face attacks from false teachers who preach a different gospel. They deny the core Christian doctrines. They're going to be deceiving many people. So we got to be unmovable in this changing world that we live in. Number one, be steadfast in service. Number two, be unmovable in suffering. Number three, abounding in ministry to one another. That gives the idea of being in excess. When I go to McDonald's, now I used to eat everything in sight, okay? I've had to back off because I'm a diabetic. But you know, remember when you used to get, or you may still get them, hot fudge sundaes or caramel sundaes? And you remember getting that, and man, they just didn't pour enough stuff on it. And you're so disappointed. When I get a hot fudge sundae, and we splurge every now and then, or a caramel sundae, I want them to give it in excess. Amen? Because that stuff is so yummy. That's the idea. Going above and beyond. You know, Jesus has done that for us. Man, he not only died for our sins, he's given us salvation, he's given us favor, he's given us grace, he's given us abundant life. Wow. You know, the temptation for us is just to do enough to get by. I don't want to do too much in the church. Hey, I just want to satisfy that person. Man, our eyes shouldn't be on each other. You shouldn't do things just to satisfy a person. You ought to do things to satisfy the Lord. Paul confronts that kind of thinking head on. Abounding means going above and beyond for him in ministry to others. Now you say, preacher, I can't get up and speak like you. I'm not teaching a class. God did not give me those abilities. I understand that. Here's the good news. Are you ready? We can abound in the work of the Lord no matter what we do to further his kingdom. You can be serving in the nursery. We've got three down there serving right now. You can serve in junior church. They're serving right now. You can be teaching a connection group like Brian taught this morning and the other teachers. Brian taught for Wes. And you can be behind the scenes. You can cook a meal for somebody. Take it to their home. You know, you just got to devote yourself to whatever you do wholeheartedly. You remember this scripture, I love it, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Say it with me. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. In other words, if my wife makes a meal for somebody, is she doing it for them? Is she serving them? You say, well, I guess so. But what that verse says is you're serving the Lord. Everything you do with the correct motives, with a heart of love, well, he's keeping a record. Whatsoever ye do. Doesn't have to be something big. It can be something little behind the scenes. Nobody sees it. Guess what, y'all? God sees it. You know, ministry is often tedious. Ministry is often thankless work. Even if your labor seems vain to everybody else discounts. They don't appreciate what you do for the Lord. Let me give you some good advice this morning. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 15:55. Doesn't matter if you get the praise. Doesn't matter if you get the pat on the back or not. Doesn't matter if anybody around you encourages you or not. Because Jesus is up in heaven cheering you on. You keep serving me. You keep being faithful. No work done in His name is wasted in light of eternal glory. In light of eternal reward. Remember, you serve a perfect Lord, but you serve in an imperfect church. None of us have arrived. And ministry gets hard sometimes. But we got to keep on plugging along. One thing I am eternally grateful for is that the Lord did not call me to pastor the first church at Corinth. You talking about a wild and crazy bunch, okay? Here's what I just wrote down a few things. Imagine being in a church like Corinth. Ready? I already told you some of them doubted the resurrection. I hope none of you doubt the resurrection, okay? Some members were suing each other in civil court. They couldn't work out their grievances. They had to take it to court. Others habitually attended social banquets, honoring idols and false gods. Woo! One brother was living in open immorality, sin, and the church was just tolerating it, putting up with it. Their worship services were shocking, really anything but edifying. They were indecent, out of order. It was crazy. Some people would come in drunk for the Lord's Supper. Don't try that. We're going to have Lord's Supper in 2 weeks. I hope you're ready for it. And then they started breaking off in different cliques according to whoever was their favorite preacher. That's like our church going and dividing and say, oh, I'm with Pastor Earl, and I'm with Pastor Wayne, I'm with Pastor Colton. And then your spiritual crowd, I'm with Jesus. That's what they were doing. I'm with Peter. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. You thought I was going to say Mary, didn't you? Peter, Paul, and Mary? No. I'm with Peter. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. Oh, the spiritual. I'm with Jesus. But that caused division in their church. And boy, through all those divisions, the visitors, the guests that they had, definitely got the wrong impression of Jesus. Many were not fulfilling their obligation to support the church financially. I tell you, Paul told that bunch in chapter 12, verse 25, to care for one another. They were not a caring bunch. The whole 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is devoted to Paul. He's trying to comfort those who felt unwanted in their own church. May we never make someone feel like they're unwanted in our own church. But many members were saying, hey, if you don't have certain gifts, then you're really not vital to our church. Oh, my gift is better than yours. You don't have the gifts that I have. You've not arrived yet in Jesus like I have. Does that sound like a caring bunch to you? Paul patiently taught them to care. And I want to try to do that this morning. I've just got two things. Practical ways. How can we care for one another? Number one, through attentive listening. You ever been talking to someone and they're not really listening to you? They're thinking about the next thing they're going to say. And you can see it in their eyes that they're not listening to a word I'm saying. Buddy, that is so frustrating. And it's impossible to love without listening. Is that good right there? Do y'all believe that's the truth? It is impossible to love without listening. To be taken seriously, to be understood by somebody is invaluable. So we got to give the appearance of listening. We got to look at that person intently. We got to concentrate on what they're saying. Maybe avoid interrupting while they're talking. Clarifying any misunderstanding. Now, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Tell me that again. Talk less, listen more. Turn up your miracle ear, amen, and listen. Attentive listening. Number two, these are just practical. Through caring, not curing. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? So many times, folks just need somebody to listen to them. They're looking for a listening ear. They don't need to hear, have you tried this? Have you done this? If I were you, I would do this. Many are just crying out, would someone just listen to me without trying to fix me? They just need somebody to pray for them. They just want to feel understood. I tell you, if they want advice, they'll ask for it. You say, well, preacher, how do I care instead of cure? All right, here's some good statements. Ready? How can I support you in this? Boy, that sounds painful. Ooh, that sounds hard. Man, that's frustrating. Thank you for sharing that part of you with me. Thank you for opening up. Man, I wish I could do something. I feel so helpless. I've texted that to people when they are going through a mess. And I'm on the outside thinking, man, there's nothing I can do. But I wish I could do something. I'm helpless. How about this one? Is it okay for me to call you in a couple days and check up on you, see how you're doing? It is more blessed to care than to cure. I firmly believe that. And we become a more caring group when the caregiving extends outside of this building. When we check up on each other during the week. When we take the meal or do something practical, helpful to someone else outside of this church building. Man, when we pray for one another outside of the church, you take that prayer list that we make on Wednesday night, and some people take it very seriously. And they bathe it in prayer. And they check up on people when they're going through things. I tell you, that is so important because you're caring. Now, I got one more final thought. You say, wow, you closed up early. This is a long final thought, okay? Be steadfast in service, be unmovable in suffering, always abounding in ministry to one another. But I want to hone in on that one word, always. Preacher, I'm tired. I'm weary. Well, thank God for Labor Day, right? Get a break. I don't care who you are, what you do, there's going to be times when you get tired. Some of you have been doing ministry for a very long time. Then life happens. Maybe illness comes along, just like me and Tanya just went through COVID. And, you know, you're striving, you're going along, and then all of a sudden, boom, the Lord says, you need to rest a minute. And he puts you in the bed. And then family problems come, or pressures at work, busy schedule. Or here's what happens a lot of times in ministry and churches. You get offended. Somebody hurts you. Then you get wore down physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And a lot of times the first thing many people want to do is drop out of their ministry in the church. Now, at times that's absolutely needed. You're not doing well physically or whatever the case may be. Sometimes you need to take a break. But other times, I think we just give in so easily and say, man, I got to let something drop, so it's going to be something at the church. No, a lot of times that's not what Jesus wants you to do. What did Jesus do when he got tired, when he got weary? Turn over to John 4 and follow along with me if you want to look at the screens, of course, but if you want to follow along in God's word. Look at John 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey. How many believe Jesus was 100% God? How many believe he was also 100% man? This shows his humanity. He got tired. He was weary. So he sits down by this well, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now the sixth hour refers to noon. It would have been hot. It would have been a good time to rest. Travelers would have been thirsty. So Jesus was there resting by a well. Now look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now normally women would come to draw water during the cooler times, during the early morning or the late evening. She comes at a time when no one else would be there. There's a reason for that, because she's a Samaritan. She's a mixed race, part Jew, part Gentile. There was prejudice shown toward them. Listen to this. Some Pharisees prayed that no Samaritans would be raised in the resurrection. So I just told you that some did not believe in any resurrection at all. Here the Pharisees are praying, hey, raise us from the dead, but don't do it for the Samaritans. Boy, they were just like, they're off limits. Don't mess with them. I got good news. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Red and yellow, black and white, inmate, addict, doctor, lawyer, it doesn't matter. He didn't take a break when he was tired. He ministered to someone that was in need. Look at verse 7. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Skip down to verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Skip down to verse 13. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Jesus is speaking. Verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That living water represented the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as believers. That living water satisfies forever. Can I hear an amen? It's enough. Now that physical water, that just satisfies temporarily. If you chug a good old 12-ounce bottle, you're going to need some more a little bit later. Because it only satisfies temporarily. But boy, I tell you, that living water is something else. Look at verse 15. Man, that was good news to her. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Boy, Jesus led this woman into saving faith. She ends up turning her whole village upside down because she goes back and tells her testimony. In fact, she goes back and gets a crowd and brings them back to the well so they can meet Jesus. That should be our response to that living water. Here's the point. Leading her to salvation was nourishment to Jesus. I've been there. I've been drained emotionally, physically, spiritually, and the phone will ring. And I'll have to put on my britches. I'm already in my pajamas. And I'll have to go out and minister to somebody in need. Colton did that this week. Amari, the teenage son of Antonia in our Embrace Grace ministry, he got hit by a car this week, crossing a busy intersection, and it was at the time of day where the sun, you know, sometimes I'm driving along, boy, that sun is right in my eyes, and it's hard to see. And he thought it was clear. His buddy said, it's clear, let's go. And buddy, there was a car coming. And he's fine. He checked out fine. He's got a little scrape and a bruise or whatever. But God was so good to him. But Colton, already home, already ate. I don't know if you had your jammies on. I don't even know if he wears jammies, okay? I'll have to ask Lydia. He might have had his jammies on, but you know what he did? He had to put his britches on and go to the hospital and minister to someone in need. But you know, he expressed to me after that, that was such a blessing. Here I am trying to minister to him, but he's more of a blessing to me. That's the way it works. When you get tired and you get weary, then you get to minister to somebody in need. I believe this with all my heart. In our weakness, he is strong. He gives us the strength that we need during those times. Look at verse 31. His disciples, boy, they're funny. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat, okay? So Jesus is at the well just by himself, but then later on he gets up with the disciples and they say, hey, we got something to eat for you. Verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And they're like, wait a minute. Look at verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, wait a minute. Did somebody else bring you something to eat? We's going to take care of that, Jesus. Look at verse 35. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of God, or the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. In other words, you know what Jesus said to them? I'm already refreshed, boys. I don't need anything to eat physically. I've been nourished spiritually. When I got tired, I made the decision to minister to somebody in need. I've been strengthened by the Lord. How many need that on a regular basis? I need that. Here's the lesson we can learn. You just keep on hungering and thirsting after Jesus, after the things of God. You search for satisfaction in him, not in another person, not in the crazy, wicked things of this world. You're not going to find satisfaction in them. Find satisfaction in Jesus. Keep on witnessing. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on serving. Keep on abounding in ministry. Because you're affecting eternity. It's not in vain. How many believe that? It's not in vain. Not in vain. Here's my favorite part. I think this is on the screen. Jesus will show his remembrance of our work and labor of love at the resurrection when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. Y'all realize that's going to be worth it all. The rewards in heaven are worth going all out for. Going above and beyond. Giving in excess. Got one more verse for you. Say it with me. Ready? Hebrews 6:10. Ready? For God is not unrighteous. In other words, he's not unjust. Ready? To forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, you've cared for others. I truly believe joy is Jesus first, others second. And ourselves, yourself last. I tell you, that verse, that's enough for me. That's all I need right there is that verse. He's not forgotten my work and labor of love, which I've showed in his name as I've served others in ministry. That's enough to make me steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, is that your heart's desire today? Do you realize without him you can do nothing? You need his strength. Many of us need to rest in him and wait on him. And then once we're strengthened by him, go out and do something for him. Minister to each other. That's the easy way to start. Minister to other Christians. But then try to lead others to Jesus. He's given us that commission. He wants us to be effective. And he wants us to be effective till the trumpet blows. And when the hard times come, don't throw in the towel and say, boy, my ministry, I got to give it up. No, a lot of times he just wants us to minister to somebody in need during those times. And he'll give us that spiritual strength that we need. And everything we do with the proper motives in his name, boy, it's going to be rewarded someday. Man, we not only get heaven, but we get rewarded. That's awesome.